Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. I have been looking into spring training baseball and just figuring out where some of these teams are from some of their off-season moves. But there's one story that I need to talk about, which probably is the dumbest story. And we talked about a lot of dumb stories in the history of this podcast. I mean, really dumb stories. But this might actually be the dumbest story. So, going back a couple of years ago, Major League Baseball cut a deal with Nike to produce jerseys. And realistically, this should be straightforward. Everyone knows what a baseball jersey looks like. One would think it would not be this complicated to do. But alas, here we are today. And we've got jerseys with missized lettering. We've got see-through pants. We've got everything looking bootleg. And we are basically, for all intents and purposes, a month out from the start of the season. We got no time to fix the jerseys. We are out of actual viable jerseys. We've got MLB clubs, and this was already reported widely, that MLB clubs are having to scrounge in the locker rooms to find all the jerseys that they were using from last year to cobble together uniforms for the teams because there are not enough jerseys, even if they are missized in the lettering. They still don't even have enough jerseys to clothe MLB teams in general. This might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Nike. And they're producing it out of Fanatics' factory. How are we short of clothing for baseball players? This should be the most straightforward thing ever. I mean, it's 162 games, so yes, it's going to be a lot of jerseys, but at the end of the day, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever had to cover. How do we not have uniforms? How are we out of uniforms? This is crazy. I mean, there's a lot of finger pointing going on between Major League Baseball, the union, Nike. But at the end of the day, before we even talk about the baseball season itself, we actually have to address the fact that the jerseys are probably going to look slightly off this year. And that the bootleg jerseys you buy from overseas may look better than the actual jerseys on the field for baseball season this year. Sad, but true. And it's hilarious. Nonetheless, even if it is sad, it's still funny. It's still funny we're in this spot. So, because of the deal, it's not as though Major League Baseball can go back to Majestic, because Majestic, for all intents and purposes, is owned by Fanatics. It's a co-sponsored deal with Nike in partnership. So, they're all in bed together. There's no rewinding the deal. It's already done. So, for the time being, we've got baseball players rehashing jerseys from last year or even the year before because they don't actually have any clothing to wear to start the year. This is going to be a fantastic baseball season. I can already tell. People were mad about the pitch clock and games ending too quickly, which I find still the most hysterical thing ever. People want more time to drink beer, so now they're unhappy about the games being less than 3 hours. It's the wildest thing. I love all the commentary with baseball coming into this year, because we've gotten to the degree of hysteria that I honestly never thought we would ever approach. But, you know, even I can get certain things wrong. But be that as it may, we've got baseball going on. We've got NCAA hoops in peak season with March Madness right around the corner as we close out the month. And to be honest, the story is Caitlin Clark and what she's doing in the women's game. But the men's tournament is going to take center stage soon enough. And the biggest aspect of the tournament is still going to be who's actually established themselves. Because the truth of the matter is, no one in the men's game has established themselves. That's part of the reason why Caitlin Clark has been the story in college hoops, is because no one on the men's side is even remotely compelling. So the fact that Caitlin Clark is putting up these scoring records and eventually will surpass Pete Maravich's scoring record for college hoops is the story of college hoops this year. So we are going to see ESPN and CBS essentially try to co-opt this into an overall narrative of college basketball, where March Madness is going to be essentially tied to the women's game as well. So don't be shocked by this. This is going to happen. It wasn't until last year, or maybe it was the year before, maybe it's 2 years now, but the women's game could not use the March Madness moniker. That's all gone now. So they're both considered March Madness, but you're going to see more advertising comparing both games, and they are going to feature a lot of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark's already in State Farm commercials, folks. You're going to see a lot of Caitlin Clark being marketed even during men's games, because guess what? The men's game is not interesting. It's just not. There's not a compelling storyline. The only storyline is essentially, can UConn repeat as national champion? I mean, the most notable thing that came out of the men's game is the fact that, we've had incidences of crowds storming the court and the NCAA being completely oblivious to addressing the matter and putting player safety at the paramount. Like, we almost had Caitlin Clark get injured because of folks storming the court, and the NCAA couldn't figure that piece out. So, you know, I am very curious to see how March Madness shapes up, because I honestly think folks are going to be shocked by how much Caitlin Clark gets featured, even though she's not playing in the men's basketball tournament, how much she gets featured in advertising during commercial breaks. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. So, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to bring my dad on. We're going to talk about a couple of items in the sports world with his weekend update, and then get his thoughts on the world of sports as we know it, because we've got a lot of nonsense going on across the board. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
Callie, while we're on the subject, I guess that's where we have to kind of put this into context. Realistically, from the standpoint of the Premier League itself, I don't think, from a coaching standpoint, it's ever been stronger. I know Wenger's not there anymore, but I don't necessarily think the Premier League has ever been stronger in terms of just, not that I'm saying they're great coaches, but I think the knowledge of the coaching staffs across the board have gotten better, so that it's a deep, much deeper league than it was in Sir Alex's time. So that's why I think, you know, with what's going on with Liverpool and Klopp, with this being now his last year, part of the reason why he's leaving is the burnout. I just think it's that much harder to keep competing as long as you can. And so I wouldn't be shocked if Pep steps away within the next year or two to go take on a job. So it wouldn't shock me if Pep left next year, too, to go coach in the World Cup once it comes to the U.S. in 2026. Like, to me, that's where I think this is heading. It's like, I think Klopp and Pep are both going to be coaching World Cup teams within the next 2 years.
Well, it could be, because what has happened is, remember, in Sir Alex and them days, there weren't as many foreign coaches, you know, Emery and all of these guys, you know. So
Are you trying to say the English coaches aren't very good?
but a lot of them were just former players that got jobs because they had a name.
Yeah, that's also very true.
What, Frank Lampard was ever really a good coach?
Oh, I thought you were gonna talk about Gerrard being in Saudi Arabia right now.
Oh, please. Between Gerrard and Lampard, I mean, Lampard, is there a spot on the planet that Lampard didn't get a chance to coach? I mean, shit, he can't even make any in MLS. I mean, come on. You know, guy you got to be to fail in the MLS, you know. So I don't, so I think that's the problem with the Premier League right now, you know, because if you watch the foreign coaches in the most of the good teams, watch who the coach is, you know. So yeah, I mean, Man City escaped by the skin of their teeth yesterday. You know, I mean, they was under, in that last 20 minutes, they were under so much pressure, but they did hold on. They held on for that one little victory, you know.
It was work. That's the best way to describe it. It was work.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I firmly believe that game was going to be a draw.
Bournemouth earned a draw. I mean, there's no question about that.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, I was rooting for them because, you know, if they had think we would have been in second place, you know, and I'm kind of, like I said, I don't want to jinx them, but I'm kind of impressed with Arsenal because those last three games that they've been with, some of those games is the game that they used to screw around with and draw, you know. But now they're just putting those teams away. They're not just winning, you know, those nail biters 1-0 or drawing 1-1 and kind of nonsense. They're just putting these teams away. You know, so I give them credit for that. So hopefully they continue. You know, because if they continue like this, they actually could wind up winning that league. There is a good chance for them because they still got City to play. You know, and to me right now, the way they're playing and the way City is playing, if they clash right now, I think I give Arsenal a good chance to win that game. You know. So, let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't understand United. United makes me shake my head because I have no idea. I mean...
What's wrong with a team that has no consistency, questionable goalkeeping, and even worse defense?
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, you tell yourself, oh, okay, they're looking okay, they won the last two games, and then you play a game like yesterday, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, it's you tell yourself, is this a joke? You know, I listened to the coach the other day. You know, the coach is going to strangle someone in the front office. I don't know. It sounds like, well, I say the only thing Man U's fans can hope for is with this new ownership, they actually start listening to people and, you know.
That's already started to happen. It's like, you already see with I'm blanking on the guy's name now. It's like, I want to say Radcliffe, but with the new ownership in place now, I want to say that, you know, essentially, because the Glazers have already turned over the ownership. That's the issue. Like, yeah, it was Jim Ratcliffe, so I did have it right. The issue is that they've already started putting in the pieces of changing the dynamic, because basically you had more finance guys running the scouting for United, and so they're looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, this guy can bring in X amount of revenue with the branding and how popular he is, versus, can this guy actually play in the system?
Yeah.
And I think that was a big issue for United. Like, they would bring in guys, and then when it came time to, like, because, like, yeah, they would give them a couple of games and let them feel themselves out and have some fun with it. But when it came to actually, you know, running a system and having them conform to it, these guys couldn't do it. Like, it's like, to me, the most blatant example of that was Sancho. Like, Sancho just seemed, like, completely mismatched as to what United wanted to have him do and what he wanted to do. And it's like, if you guys aren't on the same page of that when he comes in, it's going to be a rough honeymoon. It's like rough period after the honeymoon. And that's what it seems to happen with a lot of these United players. It's like they have the honeymoon period. And then once you get into the real thick of things during the season, it's a mess.
Yeah. And what I listened to Tingy yesterday, and they were talking about that some of the even the people, the scouts and the coaches, some of them were just like, hey, I know this guy a long time, doing it, I go way back. So he keeps his job, even though, you know, we realize that he's not doing it properly. So I say, wait, are they in the Giants organization? Because to me, that's one of the problems that the Giants have. That some of these guys just know people who is in good position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of, like, good old boy network involved with some of these clubs, and United's one of them where the Glazers, because they're NFL owners, they're used to that good old boy network. So they bring their friends in, and then they make acquaintances, and they bring their guys in, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, you can't get rid of him. But like we've known him for years. Versus, wait a second, what does he actually do?
They were talking about that yesterday, and you know, a lot of these people gotta go if United is gonna do anything. And apparently, like the coach, he kind of figured that he's running into that where he's seen a guy and hey, wait a minute, this guy don't know shit, but he can't get rid of him because he's connected, you know.
Yeah. But that's the thing. What would happen is, and the same reason why so many of these managers washed out is all these guys were failing because of ownership. It's not like to say that the managers were that great, but you could see that some of these coaches were running into things where, yeah, they want to change certain dynamics. And so when, I mean, the most famous example of it was our old friend, the special one, Jose Mourinho. Like, he's going into these long tirades about the club and ownership while dragging the players because he's trying to take a shot at the ownership group that it's like they don't know what they're doing. But guess what? You are an employee. You cannot factually change anything of a grandiose nature unless the ownership buys in. So yeah, you're just venting at that point. So it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, Chelsea had that going on for years and still do, which is why they're in the predicament that they are, where they're trying to finagle a way out of financial fair play violations. Which seem imminent now, because normally if Chelsea was playing as poorly as they were, they would have just gone on another buying spree. And I think we've basically hit the point of no return where they've done all that NFL math of amortization of contracts to try to skirt by for years, and now it's catching up with them where they can't like delay the contracts or balloon payments anymore. So that now it's like they can't bring in new players, because if they do, it's going to trigger more penalties from the FAA, from the FA.
It's they're in a real bind.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So two things I want to get run by you though, because like I saw it yesterday, and I still keep saying it's like, the NCAA has no clue what they're doing, because this is the easiest thing to prevent. So you have the Duke player getting injured yesterday when the Wake students stormed the court, But the guy directly ran it. You see the video. He directly ran into the Duke player. It's not as though he tried it. It's like, I don't know, like, how hard is it to get security to do their jobs? Because, like, realistically, this is a simple fix. You start arresting people. Like, this is not hard. This is not hard.
No.
Stop storming the court or we will arrest you.
Yeah, before you start arresting them, you gotta put it out there. Do not storm the courts. Court storming is illegal.
Well, here's the thing. They do say that, but people don't have any consequences with it. You actually have to put real consequences. Like, we will arrest you. And I know some folks are going to be like, oh, well, you know, it's not in the fun and spirit of the thing. Well, here's the problem. We've taken it to such a degree that it used to be when you beat number one. Then it became you beat number two. And then it was top five. Then it was top 10. Then it was top 25. So many of these teams keep getting upset. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So, yeah, your team won. But it's not like it's a rare instance where it's like they stormed the court. It's happened like 30 times this year, at least for college basketball. And I know people are like, "Oh, well, it's a part about the college atmosphere." Listen, when you're at the announce desk and you start seeing people just like running and like running all over the place, and you don't know who the hell is who, and like, yeah, it's exciting, but at the same time, if you're on another side or the opposing team side, you got random people running at you, and it's like, it could actually do harm. Like, that's not actually safe. Like, the number one priority is you're supposed to maintain a safe environment for everyone. It's like, yes, having fun's great, but if you don't control that, it's chaos. It's like, there's a reason why soccer, like, put clamps on that hard. Because, like, that used to happen a lot in soccer. That too many people got hurt, and they had to put clamps on it. Like, I don't know when the NCAA is going to wait around until someone seriously gets hurt with one of these scenarios. But that's the trajectory they're going in. Because, like, at least with Filipowski, he didn't tear. It didn't seem like he tore any ligaments in his knee. But God forbid Duke lost their star player on a court storming incident out on the road. And it's like, come on, it's like, this is crazy.
The thing about it is this: what pissed me off about last night was, like, everybody's acting like if, you know, oh shit, look what happened. They almost killed Kid and Cock the other day. You saw it.
Yeah.
No, that one was an accident, but accidents do happen.
Yes.
And you know what you need to do? Put restrictions on causing accidents.
I mean, could you imagine if, like, Caitlin Clark had, like, she obviously, thankfully she wasn't hurt, but it's like, could you imagine if Caitlin Clark got knocked out for the season because of a court? Like, are you, amount of money the NCAA has made off of her season and the fact that she's, breaking all these records? Can you, like, it is incomprehensible that the NCAA didn't do anything right after that incident. And then we just come back and, like I said, it is so NCAA straightforward.
A very smart bunch of people. Don't forget, the NCAA, this portal transfer now that's killing them, they couldn't see this coming and head it off by just releasing some of the money and paying the players, which would have shut them up. You understand?
No.
They waited till the horse was completely out of the barn now and complaining.
No. They waited until it got to the Supreme Court and lost one of the most lopsided decisions in Supreme Court history. Do you know how bad of a case you have to argue for the entire Supreme Court, as partisan as it is right now, no matter whose side you were on? Like, do you know how hard it is to have them basically unanimously go against you? You know how bad your case has to be?
You know you need to retire when Clarence Thomas votes against the establishment. If Clarence Thomas votes against the establishment, you need to retire. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. If you can't get, because Clarence will vote for anything. Anything with the establishment, Clarence will vote for it. And if you can't get his vote, then something is really, really wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so that's what I'm telling you. Don't depend on the NCAA to see anything coming.
Yeah, but Callie, I before I let you go, I gotta run this major story by you because it's the talk of what I've been going on about as well. Is where are the pants for the Major League Baseball players? This is the dumbest story I've ever heard of. The fact that we have a professional baseball association, the MLB, made a new deal with Nike. And between the jerseys that look worse than the knockoffs you can get directly from China, like the baseball jerseys are actually somehow worse than the knockoff jerseys from China. And the fact that A, they don't have enough pants, and B, even the pants that they do have are white and see-through because the quality sucks and it's too thin. I actually do understand how, as a professional organization, you actually get to this stage. Because literally, it's the number one thing I could say about all this, and I'm just, it's the truth of the matter. This is how you know a woman was not consulted at any major stage of strategy or conceptual feedback of how the jerseys would look or uniforms would look in general. No woman would have ever signed off on that. That's how you know this was all driven by men, because the jerseys look terrible, the lettering's off, everything looks like it, basically like it's secondhand. It's like it's not even like a major. This is Nike. I can't believe Nike was this unprepared. And then the fact that the pants are, the quality is like they're like trying to say breathable fabric. Well, the breathable fabric is light. But it's thin, so it's so thin, obviously you can see through the pants.
Let me tell you something. Major League Baseball, look, if Major League Baseball is actually running a business, they're just running on the fact that fans like baseball. But they haven't done anything to improve anything. Because if they were actually running like a business, there would be no team called the Angels. They would have folded that team. You are wasting Mike Trout on a team that...
I'll let you go.
They couldn't be a 500 team with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani oh my God, I forget the other player, on that team. How could you be that bad? Eh? I could understand the Cubs when they didn't have anybody playing for them, you know, but how could you be that bad? You know, not that you're not going to the World Series, and you haven't been 500. You haven't been 500.
Yeah.
You are not a franchise.
I'm going to make a counterpoint to this. Because as poorly as the Angels are run, and yes, while they did have Pujols with Trout and Ohtani, they didn't invest in resources, they don't believe in physical conditioning, they don't pay their staff well, the in and outs of the operation are a joke, but with all of that, I don't feel sorry for Mike Trout. Mike Trout chose to stay there. I don't feel sorry for Mike Trout talking about possible retirement versus just accepting a trade. Because guess what? When you're Mike Trout, you accepted being on the Angels. You accepted the fact that you would rather be last place than actually go to a team where you would have a chance to play in the World Series. Like, to me, Mike Trout is the worst embodiment of the modern generation. As much as everyone complains about the NBA and LeBron and the friendship generation of the NBA, I'll be honest. I will take some of the NBA players over Mike Trout. Because the reason why I say that is that Mike Trout, to me, represents I'm the best player, but winning isn't everything. That's actually worse than some of the NBA players. I would accept some of the garbage NBA players just stat padding to get a contract, but it's worse when you have, if you had someone like a Kevin Durant just say, you know what, winning isn't everything, I'm not going to. Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn because he thought he could win. Like, that's the truth. He thought he could win with Kyrie. He went to Brooklyn and didn't think he could win. He went there with Kyrie and then he got Harden. He thought they could win. It just didn't work out. So then he got himself traded to Phoenix. It's not as though Kevin Durant just said, you know what, winning isn't everything, and then got himself sent to the Wizards. Like, that is what Mike Trout essentially opted into, just saying, I'm going to re-sign with the Angels.
Well, my thing with that, the reason when people talk about Trout, I never get into it, is because I have Trout down as a player that I don't really count as a clutch player, because I think he's doubting whether he can do it when expected. Because remember, in the Angels, nobody expects anything. There's no pressure. We are going to be in last place. You get a guaranteed last place from the beginning of the season. So, and that's very comfortable for some people, because, hey, ain't nothing going on. You know, so I don't know if it's that, you know, because everybody says that Mike Trout is the best player. Well, anybody can play Little League baseball. There's not much pressure. But when it starts to matter, it's a big difference. That's why I'm not mad at Shohei. Hey, I want to go somewhere we can win.
Yeah, no. If I'm Ohtani, the reason why I came was I get to play with Mike Trout, who's technically the best American player.
Yeah.
Like, we should be able to win. But then he started seeing what this organization is, and then he couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah,
he's not going to demand a trade, but he expected the Angels to trade him. He wasn't going to demand the trade, but he thought the Angels would have traded him.
Dwayne, let me tell you something. This is why I said the Major League Baseball is just lucky that people like baseball, because the fact that the Angels did not trade Shohei Ohtani and get a boatload of shit for him shows you they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Look, your wife is going to leave you. She tells you, I am going to leave you at the end of the year. There's no coming back. I'm going to leave you. And what you said is, okay, darling, let's just make the best of the rest of the year. I mean, something's wrong with that. That you know he's going, and instead of trading, and you had offers. It ain't like they didn't have offers. They had offers from the Yankees. They had offers from
everybody. They made some of the dumbest trades to say, yeah, we could possibly make the playoffs, as if that would convince him to stay. Like, it was such a naive approach. And again, people thought those trades were good. I did not think those trades were good. And I've yet to hear people actually apologize for saying those trades were good. It's the one thing that annoys me with the analytics committee sometimes, is that they're like, yeah, you know, CJ Cron being on this roster really makes a difference. It's like, and I'm like, are you kidding me here?
Wait, they didn't even improve one spot.
They got worse.
He went down.
They got worse. And you know why? Because the rest of the players knew this season was a wrap. It's like, they're like, this is not going to help us. It's like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So that's what I'm saying, that whenever I'm hearing the argument about best players in the league and Mike Trout name comes up, I mean, I'm not calling a radio station, but I just like, you got to be kidding me, right? you know, anybody who would, there's guys that are trapped. He is not one of them. He is not one. He could have get out because Otani got out. You know? Yeah, you're not going to trade me, but guess what? The contract is going to come to an end. And
listen. He didn't listen. The reason why I get annoyed with Mike Trout, and I said this, is like he'd rather be an amateur weatherman than actually a Hall of Fame baseball player. Because yes, his stats will get him into the Hall of Fame, but that's not the question. Mike Trout had the chance to become the greatest baseball player who ever played, and chose to punt on it. He chose to punt on it. Because he didn't want to take the have the pressure of being the guy in the face of the league, and would just rather not, like, because people kept saying, it's like, oh, well, if the game only marketed around him more, you got to want that. You got to, like, put yourself in the media market to deserve that. Mike Trout just chose to stay with the Angels because it's like, it's easy money. There's no expectations of you winning at this point because everyone knows what a trash can fire the Angels are. And the media attention is a fraction of where you would get in L.A., Philly, or New York. That's the truth. Like, he just chose not to deal with it. And no matter how much they call themselves L.A., the Angels are Anaheim.
It's ridiculous. So, I don't know.
So I joke about it because, you know, it's just one of those things where baseball came off of a tremendous swing, but the sad part of the situation is even with a great season of attendance and TV revenue, it's just that. It's a distraction from once football's here. Because once football gets here, baseball becomes irrelevant to people. The ratings for the World Series get dwarfed as long as the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox aren't there, or the Cubs. If one of those four teams isn't in the World Series, the ratings get clobbered. And even with one of those four teams, the ratings would still take a pounding to the NFL. Baseball has lost its place, and I don't see there's a way of getting it back. But the one chance that they have is with Ohtani, maybe like just getting a new demographic watching the World Series. That's it. Because I don't really see a great scenario for baseball other than modest growth and like lowering expectations that, you know, they're going to be close to being the number two sport. It's like, I think the NBA has overtaken them in that regard because the NBA gets consistent ratings as well, and they get higher ratings in the playoffs. So I don't know what baseball can do at this point to not be number three, which is crazy because it's baseball. There's no way baseball should be number three in America, but that's the situation we're in.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but anyway, so stick around, Kelly. You may get an indecent exposure claim at a stadium near you in not too distant future if they don't get this pants situation sorted out. Because if you're not wearing a cup, I got news for you. Like those pants. You might be in trouble in certain cities. I don't know if they'll take too kindly to that if you're not wearing a cup.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll catch you later, Kelly.
Okay.
All right. How's it going? That's gonna do it for now. We will be back. I'm still covering baseball in depth, so we have a little bit more analysis of each division and the win total. So those episodes are coming. We also will have March Madness on tap as well again this year with previewing each region. So more to come there. So going to be an interesting month of March. So I am much I'm very much excited, to say the least. But it will be a busy month nonetheless, folks. So hope you enjoyed the show. Stick around. We will be back next month. And, yeah, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and all major outlets.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.